We are approaching the Aseret HaDibros for the first time in the reading of the Torah. And at the end, the last of the Aseret HaDibros is Lo Sachmod, one should not covet. And there's plenty to say about the Hashkafa of not coveting, not wanting what somebody else has. The famous Ibn Ezra, about the mashal of the peasant and the king's daughter, how it's totally untenable to possibly want what somebody else has. But not always discussed is the halachos of Lo Sachmod. When does a person violate coveting somebody else's things? And what we'd like to answer for the end is the following question. You see your friend has a bag of chips, a cookie, something like that, and you would like a chip. You would like a cookie. And you desire that chip. You desire that cookie. You're not going to go pay for it yourself and go to the vending machine or go to the store. So you ask your friend, can I have a chip? Is that Lo Sachmod? Is that considered coveting to ask your friend and to take what is his because you desire it? That would be the question we want to answer up at the end of our discussion.
So any borrowing should be the same mission then?
Any what?
Anything you want to borrow, so that's a ship. Anything you want to borrow, any of it to code.
Well, no, you don't want to borrow the chip. You want to have the chip.
Okay, so it means so
you want the chip for yourself.
Okay, so the borrowing would be nothing.
The borrowing, no, I don't think borrowing, because the intention is you're just using and giving it back. I hope when you take a person's potato chip, you don't have the intent to give it back. So, let's proceed. Says the Torah in Perek Chav, Lo Sachmod Beis Reyacha, Lo Sachmod Eishes Reyacha, not the wife of your friend, Vivdu, Vavdu V'amasa V'shor V'chamoro, his maidservant, servant, his ox, his donkey, V'chol Asher Reyacha, whatever he may have. Now, later on, in Parshas Vaschanan, in Perekei, in Dvarim, so the Torah has a slightly different arrangement. We know that in the rest of the Aseret HaDibros, there are differences, Shamar V'Zachor, and differences like that. So over here, the Torah says, Lo Sachmod Eishes Reyacha, V'lo Sis Aveh. And you should not have a taiva for Beis Reyacha, for the house of your friend. Sadei, would include the field in this case, similar to the other ones as well. So we have this additional prohibition in the second version of the Aseret HaDibros of not having taiva. Lo Sisaveh, to not have another form of desire for your friend's stuff. So the Rambam in Hilchos Gzela and the Shulchan Aruch explain that each version of the Aseret HaDibros teach us a different Lo Sisaveh. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Gzela, Perek Aleph, Kol HaChomed Avdo Amoso Beiso Kelev Shachaver. Whoever has Chomed, whoever has a desire for the slave, the maidservant, the house, the vessels, the objects of his friend, oh, Kol Dovar She'afshar Lo She'kaneu Mimeno, or anything that you could possibly buy from him, V'Hichbid Alav B'Reyim V'Hivzir Bo Ad Shalach Mimeno. And he pressures him, and he really pushes him to buy it from him, Afa Pi She'nasin Lo Damim Rabim. Even you pay a lot of money for the object, and you pressure, and you pressure, and you pressure, until you force the sale, Hareza Over V'Lo Sasei, you have violated a negative commandment, She'amar Lo Sachmod. V'ein lokin alav zeh, there's no lashes, mipnei she'en bo maisa, because you're not really doing anything, there's no action in coveting. You only get malchus for an action, right? We learn out the halachos of getting lashes from muzzling your animal when it goes to the field to work. And since muzzling your animal only contains an action in how you do it, you have to put the muzzle on the animal, therefore all lashes only occur when there is an active violation as opposed to something that's in thought or speech. Ve'en lo kana lav zeh. And you do not get malchus, as we said, ve'en over b'lav zeh, ad she'ikacha chefet shechamed. And you only violate the prohibition when you take that object into your possession. Ke'in yishnamar, lo sachmod kesev izav v'leiv v'lakata l'cha chimud she'esh bo maisa. Then when you take it in, that is when you do have some form of, that's when you violate at the end of the day. B'chol ha'misaveh beiso ishto v'keil shachaver. Whoever has a taiva, a desire for the house, the wife, the objects of his friend, b'chol k'yotzi v'hen, mishar dvarim shef shalo l'knosu mimenu, kevan shechashav b'libo heyech yikana mimenu davar zeh. When a person begins to scheme and begins to plan in his heart that he wants to have this object, nifta libo bedavar, avar b'lo sasei shne'amar lo sisaveh ve'en tava elo b'lev t'bilvad. The definition of tava, the definition of desire, is that it is seated in the heart. And this is only the feelings alone. So that is the Rambam's definition. Lo sachmod is when you take the object you desire, and lo sisaveh is when you begin the plan of scheming to get the object from the other person. This is all Braha Halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, and he says the same thing in Choshen Mishpat, Simin Taf Shin Nun Tes, Sif Ches. And he repeats pretty much the same thing as the Rambam says. Again, we don't have to read through it as well. But he does say one other thing. Let's just read actually this one piece in the second paragraph of the Shulchan Aruch. Hatava meiv l'dei chimud. Desire comes to chimud, leads to chimud. V'achimud meiv l'dei gezel. That will eventually lead to stealing. Shim lo ratzu abaylim limchor. If the person doesn't want to sell it, af pi shahar b'lehem b'dmei b'damim v'hivtzir. Even you give a lot of money and he eventually gives in b'reim. V'yavu l'dei gezel. Perhaps it will lead to stealing. Shneamar. V'chamdo batzim v'gazel. That you'll desire the house and you'll steal it. And what's going to happen? You try to go and steal from your friend, and he's going to stand up to protect his property. So look at the case of Achav and Navos, right? Achav wanted the field of Navos, and he eventually had him killed in order that he could acquire it. So we see that just simply having a desire can lead to worse and worse and worse terrible things, as the Shulchan Aruch outlines.
What's the difference between taiva and chimud?
So again, taiva is the scheming and the planning, and chimud is bringing that object into your possession.
Okay.
Now, the Aruch HaShulchan there explains that you only violate lo sisaveh when you begin to create a plan or scheme how to get the object that you desire from your friend. He writes as follows: Ksiv lo sachma v'lo sisaveh. Vena kavana al taiva saleh bilvad below maisa. It doesn't mean that there can't be any action. The alfinim is the siv parshas ekav lo sach mod kesav azav aleim. You shouldn't have a desire for the gold and silver, but lakach to lecha, and you will take it. Di isura de lo tachmon hu dafka kishiyasa maisa. As the Rambam said, it's only when an action, it's completed with an action. At the end of the day, you top it off with an action. Meaning the original desire. This taking of the object is just like the chalos. It's the completion of the whole process. But the whole thing itself, just having a desire, so the Rambam doesn't think that's enough of a maisa. That's just, he thinks the two things are different.
So research, you think is also gzela and
tachmon? No, gzela would be gzela. Tachmon is when you take it rightfully, when you haven't violated any laws of Choshen Mishpat, but you bring it into your possession. So the Rambam seems to see the difference between the two. So he says, "Bach pishim emidas chasidah shloz lachmon klal afiu belev mash yesh lachaveru mikamakom belav delo sachmod eno over rak baosa ma'isa belav delo sisaveh." But however, the prohibition of lo sisaveh, afagav de taiva he belev mikamakom eno over betayvas libo bilvad. Simply wanting it is not enough. Al im kein mechashe belibo eich lahasiga mechavero. How you're going to get it from your friend? Kevan she gomer davar ze belibo over alosis ave varaya de taiva ain belev. How do I know that taiva is not only in the heart? Bilvan sharei the misonanim kishesavu basar. What are the misonanim? The misonanim are the people who wanted the meat in the desert. Karam hatorah ha'am hamisavim. It says the people who want, who desire. They were trying and scheming to get away, to get what they wanted. And that is the idea of lo sisaveh, trying to figure it out. How am I going to do it? I'm going to convince him. I'm going to pressure him. Coming up with a way to get the object into your possession. Okay. Good. Says the Gemara in Bach Metzia Daf Hey Amid Beis, lo sachmod l'inshi belo demei mashma lehu. The Gemara says that people think that lo sachmod is only violated when you try to take the object without paying. But that's not true. Meaning, if you do pay for the object, then it's lo sachmod. So the Rishonim argue whether is it correct. Is that correct that if you don't pay for the object, that if you do pay for the object, it won't be a violation of lo sachmod? So the first approach is that of Tosos. Tosos writes in there in Bach Metzia, and also in Sanhedrin Chafei Amud Beis, Vim Tomar Baha Ki Yehav Demei Nami Chamsin Hu. But if you give the money, isn't that chamas? Isn't that the violation of pressuring someone to give something they don't want to do? So he says, Hainu Chamsin Shechotzuf Lachtof Miyad Liyad B'yadiyas Habaylan. A chamsin is a person who goes in, grabs the object, throws the money down, and runs out without the will of the seller. Right? I walk into the store, I grab the candy bar, and I throw down a dollar and I run out, even though the person didn't want to sell me the candy bar, that is a chamsin. He says, avahacha lo chatzav. Here, there's no chutzpah necessarily what you're doing. You're not forcing the sale. So if you do pay, then it's not necessary. The Tosfos seems to be saying that if you do pay, then there's no real iser. Now, the Gemara in Tosfos in Sanhedrin, so he gives another answer. He says, which is also the opinion of the Rambam and the Raivan in Hilchos Gzela, who says that even if you give the money, you violate L'Sachlin. That's what we read before. The Rambam says even if you give the money. And the Gemara in Bava Metzia is not L'Halacha. The Gemara that said that that if you don't give the money, only when you don't give the money, it's L'Sach mode. So the Rambam and the Raivan say that's not L'Halacha. So the Ravid understands that when you pay money, you violate Lo Sachmod. However, it's only if the seller agrees to the sale after convincing him is there no Lo Sachmod. The Ravid says, if I pressure and I pressure and I pressure, and then he says, okay, fine, I'll make the sale, so then it's not Lo Sachmod. But if you pay money and take the object without consent, which is what Tosos seems to think is Hamas, so that would be a violation, according to the Ravid, of Lo Sachmod. Okay? Good. The Magen Mishnah on the Rambam has a different understanding of what the Rambam says. The Magen Mishnah says that according to the Rambam, even if you convince the seller and you pay money, it would be a violation of Lo Sachmod. Look at the Magen Mishnah. The Magen Mishnah says, Kasav Hara, the Raivin, Rabbeinu Avram Zal, Amar Avram Larisi Davar Tema Gadol Mizeh. I've seen nothing more bewildering than this. Halacha Rav Hamasim Lishitasa Shikasa. Shim Ama Rotzani Hamocher Shalokeach Pater. If the person says, I want to make the sale, I'm okay giving you the object, then you're Pater. Aval Das Rabbeinu Zal. According to the Rambam, Sha'isr Af Barotzon Hamocher, the Rambam has stressed again and again and again that even if the person agrees to the sale, it's still Lo Sachmod. Who Aval King Kasav She'ein Bo Maisa Lefish Natila Sachefetz Barotzon Hamocher Hu Nasa, because this could be what we were discussing before. There's no Maisa in taking the object from the seller, because the seller is giving it over to you. You're not taking from him, he's giving it over to you. It's simply arriving in your possession. Aval Behishtadlus Asher Hishtadlok Zeilu Rotzoso. When the person is having efforts in order to convince him, who iser v'nigmar b'shas ha-mekach, v'shtadlus lo haya maisa. Hishtadlus, planning and scheming is not a maisa, says the Magen Mishnah. And that's what the Rambam says, there's no malchus, because there's no action. V'lakach lo nosan tam l'fishu chai l'hatzir ha-chefes. And therefore, technically, he doesn't give a reason why you have to return the object. Shekeven shebarotzen ha-mocher nasa ein kan chiyav ha-shava. And that's why there's no reason to, if you do violate the Sachmod and you do force the sale, there's no reason to return the object. Because you didn't do anything wrong regarding the exchange of the object. What you did was the scheming and the planning, says the Magen Mishnah. This is the opinion of the Ram, Mikamakom, Shitas Hara, opinion of Rabbeinu of Ramzal, Nechon Yoser. He thinks the Ravid is more correct. So the Rambam writes that you violate the Sachmod when you pressure the person to give you the item. What is considered pressuring, right? Because we're going to have to discuss at the end, any good salesman knows how to put on the pressure, right? That's how you make a deal. That's how you make a deal in business. So every single time you put pressure for a business deal, it's going to be low staff mode. So we're going to have to see that the rules are going to be a little bit different. So there's a tshuva from Rav Betzal Stern, the Betzal HaChachma, the Rav in Australia, in Chela Gimel Mem Gimel, in Oz Tess. So he says that pressuring is when you ask for the item three times. He writes as follows: So the Baal Batim want the rabbi to give him their matzahs, the matzahs that he made. When they ask him, no slitain la seslahem, ain kamushim lav de lo sachmad. So you go to the Rebbe and you say, Rebbe, can I have the holy matzahs you made for Pesach? So, and he gives it over. That's not Los Asava, if he is happy to give it over to them. V'afilu nasan lahem miyad, even if he doesn't give it immediately. Ad shechazu levakish menu pam shniya, and they come and ask for the matzahs a second time. Nirol fi nasaiti she'en bo mishum lo safmun, shtam avakish te'pamim bevadai, einu adayin b'chlal maftzir. It's not considered pressuring until you do it three times. This is based on a smav in Choshen Mishpat. And therefore, according to this, if you ask your friend if he's interested in selling his car, and he says no, so that wouldn't be lo sachmod. That's the end of the discussion. It's a one-time deal. But if you pressure three times, says the Batel Chachma.
Do you have a time frame
for this? He doesn't give a time frame. So I guess it's three times in a lifetime, I guess. So three times would be considered lo sachmod. I don't see anybody else quoting the Batel Chachma. I think we'll have to find another definitions for what's considered pressuring. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva in Shar Gimel, Mem Gimel as follows, that if an important and respected person asks for something, so maybe that would be lo sachmon. He says, lo sachmon beis reyacha, v'lo sasavel beis reyacha. His harnu bezer shalot lehisolel alilos kerasha lakachas sada v'kerem v'chol asher reyacha, not take your friend's stuff. Agam ki nasan machram v'izarnu al machsheves hadavar hara hazeh shalot naskim b'machshevasenu laso sushnamar lo sachmon. Don't take people's stuff. And if you ask him and you know he's going to be embarrassed to say no to you, if you are a very important person, or people think you're a very important person at least, and you know that if I go to this person, he's just going to melt in front of me, and he's going to have no choice but to give me what I want, and you're aware of that, so says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's lo sachmod. It's as if you're verbally pressuring him, because you know that because of your status, he'll have no choice but to give the object to you.
There's nothing to do
with
three times, right?
Nothing to do with three times. The
so
three
the,
times is...
So the Rosh Hashiva comes to your house to be the guest of honor at the dinner, what's that?
So, it's what is he, there's no object though, what is he...
Much money.
Ah, okay. We'll have to see if there's lo sachmon by money. Because if there's lo sachmon by money, then we're all in big trouble. So we're going to have to discuss it at the end. V'im ha'cho made, l'kachas cho'chefes v'ish nechbad shim Yisrael, shal or panav v'afilu, asur v'shal, he says it's asur to ask such a thing, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. And based on this, anytime you ask for something, and you know the person who owns the objects is going to give pressure to give it up, so that would be lo sachmon. But if you're just a stam yid and you're just an ordinary person, so not such a big deal. So sometimes it's helpful not to be, so important. So Rabbeinu Yonah mentions that the iser applies to a person who presses the owner to sell, as well as someone who presses the owner to give the item as a gift. So based on this, the Chafetz Chaim in the end of Shmiras HaLashon has a startling comment, which I feel he is dead on. Skip to the bottom of the column, where the Chafetz Chaim writes in Shmiras HaLashon, he says, Oda marti lo re al davar echad shenichshalim bo b'nei adam. I see that many people are careless in this. Hine yadua she'avon gezel hu bein ma'achrin bein mikrovav. You can steal from others, you can steal from your relatives. V'afilu avi v'imo k'di'isa b'vavakam, you can steal from your parents. Garu mishal avi, right by the Ben Sor, not by the Ben Sor Morer, but another case there. U'pashituhu adin halav lo sachnod shayach gam kein l'chol. Lo sachmon can apply to anyone. Look in Choshen Mishpat, Alav, lo sachmon, ena b'chol mevelei, v'lavad, kim kushamar ba'alav reyem, v'hatsir, just pressuring it, that's the problem. So he says, l'fize, in this kasher im echad b'ksiva satznayim, v'asilo bito, if you, the future chasan, pressures the father-in-law that I'm only going to marry your daughter, v'gamru b'neihem ha'nasina shel kol echad, after you've agreed to get married, so, Rishus Biyad Kolecha Babakesh Mashabalibo. Each person can try to, make deals about what's going to happen for the wedding. Zeino Rotzlis Kashir Imo, La'achar Zein Mamarba Reim La'hatzer B'machutzen, Shiyosiv La'od V'od. And they're pressuring, and we're going to say that we're not going to get married unless I get the apartment, unless I get a car, unless I get this, unless I get that. The wedding's going to be off, there's no deal. Says the Chafetz Chaim, this is 100% lo sachmod. To want more, and to want more, and to want more, and to pressure the opposite side of the wedding party to want more and more and more, or you're going to call off the engagement, you're going to call off the wedding. That's what the Chafetz Chaim says. 100% lo sachmod. To use the marriage as leverage to pressure someone to go through with the marriage.
That's extortion. It's like separate.
Yeah, it's totally usher. But unfortunately, we hear stories of this happening. The Chavetz Chaim repeats this as well. He apparently thought this was an important point. He repeats in his Sefer HaMitzvos HaKatzar, in his count of the relevant mitzvos that apply nowadays, under Los Achmod, he gives this example once again. The Betzel HaChachma disagrees with the Chavetz Chaim. He says, Ein kan mishum Los Achmod, Los Shayach Los Achmod b'matana. He thinks there's no such thing as Los Achmod for a gift. He thinks it's only in a sale. I find that to be, I don't think that's the opinion of most poskim. Clearly, we found a number of riots already that it does apply in the sale. The Ein Kfeidu Rak Mishum Midas Chasidus, he says, L'das Rabbein Yon. It's only Midas Chasidus to not pressure in the case of Matana. I'm not 100% sure that is correct according to most poskim. What doesn't Los Achmon apply to? Okay, let's at least remove all the fat and see what it doesn't apply to. So, the Kloisenberger Rebbe is Divrei Yitziv in Choshen Mishpat Simen Mem Hei. So he quotes the Derech Pekudecha. The Derech Pekudecha is the Bnei Saskar's Sefer HaMitzos, in which he explains the different levels and the meanings and the deeper aspects and all different interesting things about halacha in the Mitzos. And so Derech Pekudecha Lamed Ches Beis, who says that it would be lo sachmo to want to be as wealthy as another person. You see that the person has a bank account that's X dollars, and you want to be as wealthy as him. So the Derech Pekudecha says that that would be low sachmod. And this seems to also be the understanding of the Malbim. If you look at the Malbim on this week's Parsha, on low sachmod, he says that you should want to have osher shel chavero, the wealth of your person, so of this wealthy person. So the Malbim, in his commentary, seems to include that in low sachmod as well. So the Divrei Yitziv writes as follows: Kishirotzel Yos Asher Kaploni Lohev Bichlal Halav Afilu Mashakasov Adoni Avi Zikni B'Derech Pekudecha. I'm disagreeing with the Derech Pekudecha. V'Rak Kishachalos Hachemtehu Al Cheftso Shel Chavero Shirotzel Kamos Amamish. It's only on an object. Shalafi Daito V'Dimyo No Ein Yofi V'Afla Kishol Chavel Chavero. That I don't have the same Yofi, the same stuff that he has. That's only the problem. But to want somebody else's money is not going to be a violation, says the Divrei Yitziv. We're going to return to that later on. The Betzel Chacham proves from a simple reading of Menem Rishonim that the Isra only applies to a specific object, as opposed to objects in general. And he cites Rav Avraham ben Arambam, who says this explicitly. He says, "Eizu chayfetz sheish b'rishuso shel chavero lo amash shedomo laoso chayfetz." It has to be, I want that. It's not that I want to have a Ferrari. I want his Ferrari. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have a Ferrari, I guess, on its most basic level. But to want that person's Ferrari is the problem, says the Betzel Chacham, which I think makes a lot of sense. We're allowed to want to have things. You're allowed to have nice things, and it's totally appropriate to want stuff on a certain level. But it's inappropriate to want to have his stuff and want to have her stuff. It's okay to want stuff, but not to have the specific stuff of somebody else.
That's what we want to transfer.
Say
if
again?
If I have
an analogy,
it's not,
well, we know there's kenasofen. Kenasofen is...
So it has to be a physical object that's living.
Yeah, for sure. The Chazal praise Kenasofim, wanting to have the Torah of somebody else, wanting to have the desires, the knowledge of somebody else. There's a tremendous chiddush found in the writings of the Eretz Tzvi. The Eretz Tzvi is Rabbi Fromer, who was Rosh Hashiv in Chachmei Lublin, and the Klezhe Gavur Rav. So he writes in Siman Dalet, he has an exchange of letters with the Imre Emes. And the Imre Emes, in writing to the Klezhe Gavur, says that there's no lo sachmon for anything that can be easily found on the market, which is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush, which nobody else says. That means if your friend has a nice watch, which you can go and buy anywhere on the market, there's no lo sachmon. But if it's extremely rare, only then is there lo sachmon, it says the Imre Emes. And the Eretz Tzvi says, the Kavod Gadol, I don't understand why that's the case. And he writes a whole tshuva in which he simply disagrees with that point. But it's at least interesting Mari Matal. The next thing is the Aruch HaShulchan says, as we know as well, that it doesn't apply to wisdom or things like that. And the Piskei Shu'un Choshen Mishpat writes as follows: I am b'prim Megadim Orachaim Siman Tafresh Dalid b'Mishpatzos Sof Sifkatan Alv Shekasav Chamsin Diavdami Tzarchiyim Begay. And the Piskei Shu'un quotes the Prima Gadim as a suffix whether there's low sachvot on the possessions of a non-Jew, because what does it say in the pasuk? It says Reyacha. Reyacha classically normally applies to Jews. So the Mincha Schinach and Mitzvah Lamed Ches and Mitzvah Tuf Tes Zion says there's no issue because of Reyacha. We Lav Zev Kol Yishe Yisrael Mitzvim Al Af Nashim Vavadim. Everyone who's Jewish Kol Lavin Shabbator Over Al Chomin Eze Davar Yishe Yisrael V'Nir Pashav Din Chaman Migoy In Over B'Lav Zev. You're not over because it says Reyacha and it doesn't apply to a guy. This is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch Rav as well. There's a highly, highly objectionable sefer which is published in Eretz Yisrael. It's called Bina V'Das. It's a very interesting sefer, which is all about relating to people who are not observant. And the sefer is replete with outlandish, hysterical claims about how we treat people who are not observant. And in the sefer, he has this terrible claim that it doesn't apply to a person who's not from, which is totally ridiculous. And that is certainly not the halacha according to anybody else. So that's
a shouldn't. He
says it's not reyacha anymore, which is a problem on its own. Which to just make that clear, it's a totally ridiculous shita. The post can discuss using something that you had losachon on. Is that a mitzvah hababa aveira? So they seem to assume that yes. The Binyan Sion and Simon Chavches says it's mitzvah baba aveira. However, the Shas Shuvah Schof Yamim in Gimel Samach Aleph disagrees, and he says there's only a mitzvah baba aveira if the object is viewed as an object of, if the chayfetz has a chalos of aveira, if it in itself has viewed as an aveira. For example, if you steal a lulav, right? If you steal a person's lulav, so it's disgusting to Hashem to use that lulav that was stolen. The lulav is, as the Medrash says, is screaming out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I was stolen, right? It's a terrible thing to use such a lulav. But a lulav that was retained because you wanted it isn't, it's not a lulav hachimud, there's a lulav hagazol. There's no such thing as a lulav hachimud, a lulav that was coveted. Meaning, lo sachmod goes on the person, not the object. It doesn't establish what type of object. It's not a desired object. It's a person who has desire. And therefore, if you had a sachon on a lulav and used it, he says it would not be mitzvah aveira. The Betzel Chachma says the same thing as well. There's an amazing exchange of letters in a very popular Torah journal called the Kovetz Beis Aaron Yisrael, which is published by the Carlin Stalin Hasidus in Brooklyn. And they have interesting articles every quarter on all different types of halacha and hashkafa and all different types of interesting stuff. So there's a fantastic exchange of letters in Kovetz Pei Aleph, 81, and Pei Beis, 82. So Rav Meir Zitzman, who's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael and Bnei Brak, I think, so he has a whole fancy shtickle Torah in which he says that there's lo sachmod by money, which we said before is highly problematic. Because he wants to say that how can a tzedakah collector, anyone who's a fundraiser, use high-pressure tactics to raise money if there's losachon on money? That how would we ever get anything done? How would we ever have tzedakah? Because how could I pressure someone? So in response, Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg in the Pei Beis has a letter in which he says that losachon only applies to an object. It does not apply to money. You're allowed to desire somebody else's money to get it. And if losachon would apply to money, then it would be usur for a salesman to convince someone to buy his product. Why? Because I want your money for my product. That would be losachon, says Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. So it's untenable to say that losachon applies to money. And which is against what we saw in the Malbim, that it was by Osher to have someone's wealth. So it must be, he says, that you're allowed to want to desire somebody else's money. Whether it means in business, whether it means in tzedakah, it's 100% okay, says Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. What?
Not a person who disagrees with you. I thought it could be money, so it's not so trivial.
Say again?
The person who we disagree with. Certainly that person
said. True, he doesn't agree, but it seems to shut down like how the world works. It's a very hard thing to...
The exchange is not desire. How does borrowing to money? If I give my cow for your book, that's no different money for your book. I mean, so what you're saying, we won't talk about it in the agricultural side.
But at least buy tzedakah. Let's say tzedakah. How is a person going to pressure someone to give tzedakah?
That's the conditional power.
I'm saying it's...
No, first of all, tzedakah by different rules.
Could be.
Like some people argue tzedakah can get involved with this and not getting involved.
True. Okay, let's get to our question of the evening is, can you ask someone for a chip? That's what we wanted to know. So your friend has a bag of potato chips, so you're allowed to ask him for a potato chip. So Rav Menachem Travis, in the Orech Meisharim, which is kind of a Shulchan Aruch Hamidos that was written about 100 years ago, so he writes in Simen Yud Gimel Sukkot and Beis that if you walk into someone's home and you see a table full of food and drink, then you're certainly going to have taiva for it, right? Somebody puts out a beautiful spread, and they weren't planning on having you over for the spread. They just had it out for somebody else. So you walk in, and you see the food on the table. So you're going to have taiva for it. So he says, the taiva is not to have the food. The taiva is to satiate your hunger and your thirst. I don't care necessarily about the food, he says. I care that I'm hungry. My taiva is not that I want that food. I'm hungry, he says, and therefore I want to satiate it. And he says the pashtus of the psukim indicate that you only violate lo sachmod when you want the exact food that the person has. But if I want food that he has, and I want him to give me something to eat, so that's not lo sachmod. But if I want that food that he has, so then it could be lo sachmod. So according to that, maybe wanting that potato chip maybe could be a problem according to the Orech Meisharim. Tzvi Spitz, who is a prominent posek in Choshen Mishpat in Eretz Yisrael, so he has three beautiful svarim called Mishpatei HaTorah. So in the first volume, in Os Pei Aleph, he says that it's usher to ask your friend for a bite of food if you know he's going to feel pressured to give it to you, because if he doesn't, he's going to look like a bad guy. Right? You see your friend eating something, and you know that if you can I have a chip, and he thinks, oh, if I don't give him a chip, I'm going to look like, you know, the worst guy in the world. So I'm going to have to give it to him. So if you know that that's what you're doing, that you're putting him on the spot in order to give you the food, so Rav Tzvi Spitz says that could be lo sachmod, because you're using the tactics that Rabbeinu Yonah was referencing in order to pressure someone into embarrassing them in order to give you what you want. Rav Schechter, I thought, had a beautiful way in order to answer up this issue. He said that it could depend on the size of the bag of chips, or it depends on how much food the person has. If the person has a single serving bag of chips that he clearly bought from the machine because he wanted for himself, and you come and ask him for a chip, so it's obvious that he bought that single size of chips because he wanted those chips for himself. So to go and ask for the chips in that case, Rav Schechter said, he felt perhaps could be an issue of lo sachmod, because it's clear he has a little amount of food and you're asking him for it. He probably doesn't really, he didn't offer you one and he wasn't asking to give it up. So in that case, he said, it could be lo sachmod to ask for those chips.
But if he has a big
bag, the person has a lot of food in front of him and it's not conceivable that he would eat it all by himself. So Rav Schechter said that in that case, it's not a problem to ask in that case because he has a lot of food and it's not expected that he's going to eat it all in one sitting at that time.
When he bought it, his machshava was not just for now, but
it was for later. So he said that he didn't think in that case it was as big a deal. But if a person has a limited amount of food and he has it just for himself, so he felt in that case that it's better not to ask. There, I just want to finish with an amazing story from the Adaras. The Adaras is Rav Kook's father-in-law, and he wrote tons and tons and tons. Actually, there's so much stuff that has not even been published yet. When he passed away, somehow a lot of his writings ended up in Panovich, and like rotting away in the library. Nobody was doing anything with them. So they tell a story that like one of the Hezri Yeshivas like went into Panovich, and they like ran off with a bunch of boxes to publish the stuff because no one was doing anything with it. And there was like a whole big fight. I don't know what happened with the whole story. But thanks to them, we have a lot of stuff in the Adaras now. But we had stuff in the past. The Adaras wrote on Chumash, and he has a parish on the Baal Turim, and he has a whole thing on Hakel. And he was the rabbi Mir, and then he did not like his position in Mir very much because they did not treat him so nicely, and which he actually writes about in his autobiography that we're going to get to in a second. And he came to Eretz Yisrael because he was supposed to be the replacement for Shmuel Salant, who was extremely, extremely old. And what happened was the Aderes died before Shmuel Salant died. So therefore, he was the vice rabbi, or chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, having never gotten the position. He was actually brought to be there. As he writes in his letters that he felt that they gave him an apartment. They thought they were honoring him, and they gave him an apartment that looked over into the old city and looked into the Churban of the of Yerushalayim. And he was so pained by having to see it, he wrote in his letters that this apartment is literally killing me. It's like taking away my neshama, and it's making me depressed. I can't stand to see it. And he felt that the reason why he was dying was because of he was so pained over what was going on and having to see the destruction of Yerushalayim. He wrote not an autobiography, it was personal diary and notes that was published by the children, and later on again, and in the newer version, it was edited because for the controversial stuff. But he writes as follows in his Nefesh David Simon Samach Beis, just a beautiful idea about Lo Sachem. He says, "B'shalzu l'asi ayisi nizar ma'od." He says, "I've been very careful, v'gam lachmod b'leiv ha'isi misrachek, regarding not engaging in Lo Sachem." The dugma, "Atzig po ma'shakar li ze'asrim shana." I want to tell you what happened 20 years ago. "Asher kana kvod achi arav, zatzal bade sefer shut chesed la'avram." Somebody had a copy of the chesed la'avram, "Ma'azvenu shal rav Michal Deutsch." B'shevel, the kvar pasuk damim mashrok savli shekaneu b'avari, and he bought me a set. B'shev b'am ben arav hagai ben shamber of Yosef Zachari Stern, bal sefer zechli Yosef l'gachov ani hisramti al zeh harbe. So, and then someone came and got the set instead of him, and he never got the set for himself. V'achra eiz eshanim hayisi b'shevel. I was in the town of Shevel. V'shalti es harav eich lakach mimeni acharei asher kvar kanu achi zal b'adi. Oh, sorry, this is not the story I wanted. I want you to go to the next paragraph. That's really the story I wanted, which is over here. "V'chein nizdamen l'kiyot v'v'sifrim mishnayis in tosus yontav shekanisim b'shnas tafresh l'amadches v'yosef b'kaitz rishon b'veis dodi." I was by my uncle, and he had a new set of mishnayis with the tosus yontav. "V'pinchas n'riga v'bad ha'tzarsav b'yotachos v'som n'asas l'tushur katana mishnayos m'churkim defus with a special printing la'os ahava l'man yilmod behem." And he gave it to me in order that I should learn. "Vazlo yai asher kamosh atzichu Hashem baruch Hashem achar kach v'atza yeshlo od shnei zatz v'shnayis gam eile bil adam v'li ein gam echem yaz hisbar acharona b'keit sarfesh ninches." Well, history had mishnayis, it didn't have mishnayis. "Lo galisio znomi ze'afki kalsa nafshim me'od v'nechutzim heima li." And even though he says that I could have had these mishnayis that were supposed to go to me, but I didn't, I never asked them for it. I never schemed or I never planned to try to get, he says. "Achireis halaven lo sasava lo sachmon atzartani." I was so pained by the possibility that I would have asked them to have the seven mishnayos that I should possibly violate lo sachmon. "Bekavel lahagoma lechayvem tovus vechonin le'enu kedai shigulenu chaneinu betovu lehetzer gamor. Bechlau pa'alti believi mamash kedivri ha'ibin Ezra." I was so happy that I fulfilled the words of the Ibn Ezra, who said that I shouldn't even think for a second to want to have somebody else's stuff, and I was so besimcha that I was able to totally say that this set of Mishnayos should not be for me. That's how besimcha he was, that he was able to fulfill properly, not having a desire to have somebody else's stuff. So with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should be able to, control our desires, and to be happy with what we have, Ezu Ashir Sameach Vechelko, and to continue to grow only in the kin of Sofrim, in the desire of more Torah.